The reading this evening is taken from Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. And as you can see there, through to 5, verse 20. Covering two stories about Jesus calming the storm and then the healing of the demon-possessed man. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind calmed, died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus was saying to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. This is the word of the Lord.
There was a man, and he was driving along a country lane. And as he was driving down this beautiful, picturesque country lane, he suddenly saw a little rabbit hopping across the road. But too late, and he slammed the brakes on, he heard the thud and the rabbit going round the wheel arch. The car screeches to a halt, And he gets out mortified. And he stands looking over this poor little bunny rabbit on the ground with a tire mark across its back, looking very forlorn. And the man is devastated, and he's just there going, oh, what am I going to do? There's another car coming down the lane, and there's a lady, and as she drives down, she sees this man who is clearly in distress. So she pulls over the car, and she gets out, and she walks over to the man and says, what's the matter? And he goes, this poor little bunny rabbit, I've just hit it. She goes, hang on a second. She goes to the boot of her car, gets out this spray of some kind, comes over to the rabbit, sprays it, and instantly the rabbit jumps back to life, runs about 10 hops down the road, turns round, waves at the two of them, turns around, carries on hopping a few more hops, then, about another 10 hops later, turns around, waves at them again, and this happens right until the rabbit's out of sight. The man is absolutely astounded. And he says to her, what on earth have you got there? She says, it's hairspray. And so when he picks up this aerosol can and reads what it says on the label, it says hairspray. Revives dead hairs and adds permanent wave. There's kind of a vaguely connected story there about the fact that about healing. And as we go through Mark's gospel, Mark constantly wants to share about the authority of God and talk about who this God is and the fact that God is a God who longs to bring freedom and healing to all. And a few weeks ago when I was speaking, we learnt the word sozo, which talks about how God is our saviour, he's our healer, he is the one who makes all things right. And at the time I preached that, Roger came up and said, in the Hebrew, the same word for sozo, which is the Greek word, the Hebrew word is shalom, peace. And if you come and do the healing ministry prayer course at church, you'll hear Roger talk a lot more in depth than I'm going to talk about tonight. But he talks about this issue of sozo. And he'll take you right back to the start of the Bible, where it says God creates the world, and it says the Spirit of God hovers over the waters. And in Jewish culture, water represents chaos. It's almost like there's chaos, and then God speaks, and it is ordered, and it is as it should be. And the peace of God, the shalom, comes and orders creation. And the garden is created, and Adam and Eve are created, and everything is as it should be. The shalom of God is there. The order of God is there. But then it gets messed up. And humankind, we mess it all up, and we reject God, and chaos ensues. And then the whole of human history is all about how humans mess up the world, but then Christ comes, and he brings peace. He brings the shalom, the sozo, into the world. He says the world's chaotic, and when it's chaotic, it's not like God. And when we're not like God, we can't come to God. But Christ says, through me, if you believe in me, then there's peace, there's shalom, there's sozo, there's salvation. And it kind of restores the order of creation. When we have faith in God, it's like saying we believe in that perfect order of how things should be, not in how they are. We recognize that everything in this world is messed up. People lie, people cheat, there's injustice. There's so much chaos in the world. And God says, I hate it. That is not my heart. My heart has always been for it to be this perfect creation. And how I've chosen to save this world, how I've chosen to bring the shalom of God back, the peace of God, is through Christ dying on the cross. Sorting out all the chaos, taking it all upon himself, he dies and he's raised again. And it means that when we have faith in Jesus, we enter into the shalom, the peace of God. That is the gospel that we believe, that I believe. So what does that tell us about this passage tonight? Well, for some of us, it's a fairly familiar story. Jesus calming the storm and then healing the demonized man. And I want to spend most of my time tonight looking mainly at Jesus calming the storm. And if you want to understand what these two stories are about, you need to backtrack slightly. If you've got any Bibles, I encourage you to open up at the place in Mark 4, was it Mark 4:35? I can't even remember myself. Mark 4:35. And if you look just before there, you've got Jesus teaching. If you want to understand what's going on in this passage, you've got to understand what Jesus has just been talking about. Because Jesus has just been talking about faith and about being beacons of light. Now, I want to suggest to you tonight that these two stories show and demonstrate practically what Jesus has just been teaching before. We've got Jesus calming the storm when he talks about faith. And we've got Jesus healing the demonized man who is in such darkness, in such turmoil, and yet God brings light into his life and he goes and shares it with everyone. And in the bit of teaching just before the story of Jesus calming the storm, in this, it talks about the light being on a lampstand shining for everyone to see. Don't hide it away. Let everyone know. And that's exactly what the man who gets healed does. He tells everyone about this man. So the teaching that Jesus gives is then followed by the practical application. And this happens throughout the Gospels, you often see it. So Jesus has been talking about faith, and he's been talking about how faith is like a seed. He has three seed parables. He talks about the farmer planting the seed, scattering some on the hard ground, some on the good soil, some on the soil where there's weeds who choke it. And he talks about faith. He says that faith is the spoken word. You plant with words. And then he talks about the parable of the growing seed. How you plant the seed and you let it grow. And in the right time, it comes to its fullness. And then you've got the parable of the mustard seed. Talking about how from such a small thing, God can make amazing things happen. And interwoven to that, you've got the parable of the light being on the lampstand. And then what I want to focus on right now is the parable of the growing seed. If you've got it in front of you, I'd encourage you to look at it and turn to it. And I'm just going to quickly read it to you. It also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Jesus has just been talking about faith. And then you get the story where the disciples freak out because there's a storm. Jesus has had a bit of a kip in the stern of the boat, and a massive storm happens. Disciples freak out. And it must be a pretty bad storm because they're fishermen. They spend most of their life on the waters, and they are terrified. And they wake Jesus up saying, what's going on? Yes, you're sleeping, and we're about to die. Don't you care about us? And he goes, he stands up first. He rebukes the wind, and he rebukes the waves, and says, shh, be quiet. Be still, be at peace. Be shalom, be as you should be. Chaos, stop. And he turns around to the disciples and says, where's your faith? You see, Jesus has been talking about faith. They get in the boat, and then suddenly they've got an opportunity to put into practice what they've just been taught. And what we see is the disciples just have not got it at all. They have not been listening. You see, because in this parable of the growing seed, it says that in faith, you plant the seed. And it tells us that's the word. You speak the word. And once it's planted, there's nothing you can do. Night or day, whether you're awake or whether you're asleep, the seed will grow regardless of you. And the problem so often is with faith is that we like to be involved. We like us to have something to attribute to the faith. When on the waters, Christ says, we are going to the other side. He says, that's what's going to happen. That is the will of my Father. Because Jesus said, I only do what the Father shows me to do. So he goes to the other side, because that's where God has shown him to go. And so that's the word that's gone forth. So what does Jesus do? That's the word. I'm going to chill out now. There's nothing more I can do. As soon as the storm comes, though, the disciples freak out. Because what they're trying to do is they are trying to battle with the storm. And they're so caught up with battling the storm that they start worrying about everything. And their lives, they're going, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, oh no. And it's at that point they suddenly go, oh, Jesus is here, maybe he can do something about it. And then he gets up, he rebukes the wind and the waves, and says, hang about, let's just go back to what we were talking about earlier on, faith. And he stands there and says, peace, be still. Because Christ has faith, and when we have faith, chaos can't ensue. It will try, it will come against us. But what he says is, it's not going to affect me. For Jesus, the storm didn't affect him, because he knew the word that God had given him, which was to go to the other side. See, we struggle with faith so much because we think we've got to have more faith, and that's true. And it says in the Bible we should pray to have more faith. But what we think that means is, I just have more trust, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. Faith is the ceasing of activity. You see? You plant the word in faith. This is the promise that God's given me. And it says, the farmer, night or day, whatever he does, he can't help that little seed grow. The soil does it. The ground does it. And in the right time, it comes to its fullness and the full harvest. Jesus, what did he do? He slept. He chilled out because he knew the word of God. He didn't try and do activity. The disciples, they were trying to do activity. He didn't. He sat back. And what happens is, because we're so desperate to be involved, because we sort of lack faith, we lack the ability to step back and just go, it's in God's hands. Nothing more I can do. We try and do things, and then we start worrying about everything. And I think when I read scripture, for me, worry is the opposite of faith. Because when you're worrying, you're imagining the worst that could possibly happen. And that's what you hold on to. Whereas faith is holding on to the truth of the matter and pursuing that, no matter what else is going on around you. So I would say that worry is the opposite of faith. And when we worry, we find it very hard to rest. I know that when I'm worrying about something, I can't sleep. And yet what faith allows us to do is to find that peace in God to rest. Because God says, shh, be quiet. And that's what faith is saying. Be still. Know that God has a plan for your life. Know that God is looking after you. We have to just learn to stop doing ourselves and trust God. When we're worshipping, what suddenly came to me when I was thinking about this is, look at the story of the Bible. You've got mankind desperately hard, trying to follow a law, trying to do things to enter the presence of God. Desperate to try and make things right. They're desperately trying. And yet, what the scriptures show us is when we have faith in Christ, we can come before God. Nothing we can do can bring us before God. Only faith in Christ. You can't be a good person. No matter what you do, won't be good enough, because we're still fallen people. And what faith is saying is, I'm going to rest in the promise of God. I believe that Christ has died for me, and that I believe I'm going to heaven, because God loves me and he wants me to be with him for eternity. Faith is the ceasing of activity and relying on the promise of God. And I think tonight there's various people, and I know I'm one of myself, who have lost focus on the promise that God's given you, on the joy and the hope that God first put in you, and you've lost it because the storm has come and it's become so chaotic and it's become so hard, and we go, this can't be following Jesus. This can't be faith. And God says, stop trying. To all of us, says, stop trying and rest in faith. And that's not easy to do. And it's something we have to practice to do. Because I know for me, when something bad happens, the first thing I want to do is worry. And I am the world's worst worrier. But if you're a really good worrier, then turn that around and apply it to faith. And actually you can be the most faithful person ever. Because if worry is the opposite of faith, then all the energy and time you put into worrying, turn that around and put it into applying to trusting God. Just put it into God's hands and say, God, I can't do it. By night and day, I can't do it, but God can. But we're so desperate to be involved. We want, what can I do, God? What can I do? And he says, what you can do is rest. In creation, God makes all the earth. He makes everything happen. And the first day of God's creation, what happens? He says, just rest. Enjoy this place of peace. Find peace in this creation. Find peace in the place which has been made by faith. It says in Hebrews 11:3 that by faith God created the whole universe. God spoke the word and the universe came into being. It was a place of faith. And what happens is God says he invites us back into that place of peace. He says no matter where you are, no matter what storm is trying to hit you, let's not focus on the storm, but let's focus on the promise of God. It doesn't always mean that the storm will go away, but it means that your focus is in the right place. And when we draw closer to God, when we focus more on him, when we spend time with him, we find rest. Why do you think the Bible makes such a big thing about be still and know that I am God? Because he knows that we need to stop. Why in the Jewish calendar do you have Sabbath every week? Because we need to stop and rest and give everything back to God and say, God, it's in your hands. I can try my hardest in the week, but ultimately it's in your hands. Throughout the Jewish calendar, there's festivals where people stop and celebrate who God is. But they're saying, I'm giving it back to God. Nothing I can do can make the world a better place in that sense. It's through faith in him. And when we have faith in him, that causes a response, yes. And that's where action comes from. And that's where servant-heartedness comes from. And that's what leads us to change our world. But it first comes from saying, I rest in the truth of who God is. As I said before, faith is the ceasing of activity and turning our focus back onto God. That's what's happening in this passage for me. It's all about faith. It's turning back to him. And as I was saying, I think for a lot of us here tonight, I think what God was saying to me earlier on today when I was praying was just, there's so many of us here who have lost that focus. Where those hopes and those dreams and those aspirations that we had have got so lost in the chaos of our world that we can't see the way forward. And it says in Romans 12:1-2, it talks about turning your mind back to God, worshipping him with all of your heart. And it says, then the peace of God will come upon you and you will know God's will for your life. If you're struggling to know where God is calling you, if you're struggling to know what on earth God's put me here for, what Romans 1 and 2 shows us is that we change our mind from worrying back to the heart of God. And when we go, I'm going to recognise the truth of who this God is, I'm going to worship him with all of my heart and all of my being, it says then the peace of God comes on us. And when there's peace, there's faith. And that allows us to focus back on what God would have us do. It says in Psalm 37, I think it's verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And we often read that and go, I'm delighting in God, I'm coming to church, I'm worshipping him, where's this delighting in God? He's saying, delighting in God is being able to stop and pause and go, I recognise that you have made me, there's an amazing creation around me to enjoy, there's people who God's put around me to enjoy and rest with. And I can stop and put all my trust in God. It says in Matthew 11, if I can find it now. I've got a Bible turn there. Matthew 11, verse 28-30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it's one of those passages we often read and go, that's lovely, that's great, but life's still hard. I think often God just says, you know what, just stop and pause for a minute. Stop from your working, stop from your striving, stop from this chaos that you're creating, and involving yourself in, just stop and focus back on God. Who is he? What is the gospel? What has he done for you? What is he put in your heart to do? What does he want you to do with the grace and the love that you've received from him? Because all of us have got a calling from God. No matter how big or how small it might seem. Just being in this house, if you feel called here, that's a calling from God. So maybe it's time to stop and pause and go, okay, God, I want to spend time delighting in you. I want to receive your peace. And Lord, then help direct me where I need to go. That's all I want to say tonight. Seek for God's peace. Stop and pause. Rest in him. Delight in him. And it says he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll make them known to you. That's all I'll leave us with today, is that thought. Let's rest in God. Let's come to him, you who are heavy laden with burdens. Let's just stop and pause. Let's do that now. Go now, and as you go, know this. In grace you were created. In mercy you have been sustained. In love you will be held forever. Amen. Let's just share in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.